The scripture I read is an interesting one. It reveals something uniquely special about God. And I knew it was, but I never verbalized it. God will seek reconciliation and shall go literally to the ends of the universe, not just the earth, universe, to accomplish it solely for our benefit. I like that word reconciliation. It's a warm, cheerful, almost hot milk and cookies type of word. It really gives a lot of comfort to people. And that is the greatest of generosity of God's love to us. You know, since the first settlers landed here in America on these shores, whether it was English, Spanish, French, German, whatever it was, the treaties signed with the American Indians have been rarely honored. In fact, very few of those treaties ever lasted more than a few years. Only one group ever actually honored was the Society of Friends. You know them, they're the Quakers in Pennsylvania. And they actually honored their treaties, and they were highly respected by the Indians in that area. However, when the Quakers lost their power in Pennsylvania, their successors decided it was time to abrogate those treaties and move into their lands. And that is a sad statement on the new leadership of Pennsylvania there. And they aren't remembered for that. But overall, it's difficult for humans to keep a bargain. Did you know the Second Seminole War here in Florida was caused because the governor sent down a surveyor and he went surveying on this Indian chief's property, gardening? The chief thought that they were trying to take his land, and the chief declared a war. And you know, that was a lot of money for the citizens of Florida to spend, plus the feds as well. So a lot of times we have to be careful about our approaches to things. But you know, the children of Israel were always breaking covenants with God. The early Americans were no different. But from the time of Abraham through Jeremiah, the Israelites consistently turned aside from God. God established these covenants so that the Jewish people would fully recognize God's love toward them. But it just did not work out. If anybody knew about surprises, it was the children of Israel. God had pleasantly surprised them through the centuries. You know, take the plagues of Egypt. Now, it wasn't a surprise to the Egyptians, but it certainly was a surprise to the children of Israel. What about the parting of the Red Sea? How could that not have been a surprise when God split the waters asunder and they walked on dry land, which had never seen dry land before? The terrain had never. So that was a surprise in itself. Think about once they arrived in the promised land. There were so many things that God blessed them with. And God had pleasantly surprised them throughout. The Lord promised to make them His chosen people, and He did so by providing, being faithful to them. And you know, I've looked through the Bible continuously, and you know what? They're still God's chosen people. So, you know, we better pray for the children of Israel even to this day. We got our Lord and Savior from them, didn't we? So, you know, remember that. The Lord promised to make them His chosen people. And in Jeremiah's day, the system had collapsed. It had completely deteriorated. They had had king after king, corruption after corruption, and guess what? The whole country was in shambles. There was very little left that even could remind them of the days of King David or King Solomon. It was all gone. There was nothing but devastation. There was famine. There was just about invading armies from Assyria and Babylon at different intervals. But they were just being ransacked left and right. And, you know, those people, the leader, even the religious leaders, they knew that something was wrong, and they were going to try to do something about it because their relationship to God had actually become unglued. Now, God never caused it to happen, nor God cut the ties to them. They did it themselves. But these religious leaders thought they could try to fix the system on their own. So they attempted to repair this broken covenant with God by seeking to reform the people's hearts through mortal-made laws. The Israelites had the notion that they could win God's favor in this way. But no human can accomplish such a task alone. And let me say this, no mortal-made laws are broken proof. Let's take Prohibition, the Volstead Act of 1919, when the United States went completely dry. No liquor could be sold. Did it work? Well, no. You had gangsters, bootleggers, you had illicit making. You know, that's when they came. A lot of people were doing their own steals in their backyard. And a lot of people died from that, too. And it didn't work. You cannot legislate such moral things because it takes God to do so, not a politician. But yet somehow people think that they can still pass laws that they will be upheld. That's not the case. We have to look to a higher source, and it's God. We must remember that. Some people may disagree with me, but I think God is the one we need to go to first, don't you? But we don't. We end up talking to somebody and think it's going to be fixed. But we all have our limitations to fix what is broken. We all want to mend everything to make it better. Quite often, we're tempted to repair and restore things to save money. I've often thought about the child who skinned his knee and he asked his mother, kiss it to make it better. Have you ever heard that one? Well, a lot of times, kiss it, make it better is a wonderful thing for the child to see his or her mother or father do that. But basically, it takes a little healing and probably a little mercurochrome or something to do that. We all know about amateur novice plumbers and carpenters or electricians, mechanics who have, and we've heard all those horror stories, how they've taken people to the cleaners. And we've all had that experience. And talk about surprises. There is nothing more surprising than trying to repair something when we have no expertise in the first place. But have you ever met somebody who thought they knew it all? They will convince you they know what they're doing. And they end up, take your car, they'll have your car in 1,000 different parts and pieces. And before you know it, you spent twice the amount of money to getting it repaired by a reliable mechanic. You know, the Israelites had failed to grasp that God could be what God could mean to them. With all those endless animal sacrifices plus rules and regulations to atone for sins, the meaning was lost somewhere along the way. It basically came down that there was no amount of sacrifice which could win God's favor. The solution would eventually happen only through Jesus Christ. The entire system required an overhaul, and God came to the rescue. Now, people today think as they did in the days of the Israelites, that problems somehow may be fixed on their own. Well, the real awakening is, and I'm going to reemphasize it, it cannot be done without God's assistance. Now, let's go back a few months to December. Every year just prior to Christmas, there is an amazing discovery to be made. After supposedly carefully storing away the Christmas decoration, how does that nefarious hobgoblin invade our attics or garages to tangle those strands of lights into one big mess? It happens to me every year. I think, oh, I've got them neat, and I look in the containers, and how did that happen? How did that happen? Well, you know, sometimes we get in a hurry, and it's never a simple matter to undo such chaos, is it? Likewise, we can't do anything to earn God's love, but only God can guarantee a full life of grace and detangle our lives. God, however, told the ancient Israelites and still assures us that I love you and you are my people. That is a promise and the reason for Easter. God comes to us amid those broken promises, failed intentions, and botched efforts to say that he loves us regardless of our shortcomings. Now, when it comes to people we know, relatives, friends, acquaintances, we like to judge them, don't we? So they do have a limited grace period. God does not do that. God will seek us out to seek complete reconciliation. And this was the surprising message Jeremiah proclaimed to unfaithful Israel. And it's the very same promise God speaks to us. Forgiveness in Christ is the unbreakable promise we have from God. Under this new covenant is guaranteed and never expires. Through this new covenant, God forgives us as we seek pardon daily through prayer. Unfailing forgiveness from God is a genuine surprise because it isn't deserved. Reconciliation with God is a daily duty. Did you reconcile with God yesterday? Well, that's good. Have you done it today? Will you do it tomorrow? We need it every day. We really do. Now, it may not be we've not done anything because we inventory our failings and sins or whatever, and we find, well, I've been pretty sin-free for the past 20 years. I don't need to ask God for forgiveness. Well, we probably gloss it over. It's like looking in the mirror and you say, oh, I love this mirror. It doesn't show my actual age, you know. What happened to those wrinkles? And then we go somewhere else and we look in the mirror and jump back, scares us to death, saying, who is that old person standing there, you know? It happens to all of us. We have to remember, let God do the forgiving. Let God do the reconciling. God will grant us the spirit of reconciliation so we can reconcile not just with others or friends, but with ourselves. See, if you can't forgive yourself, you won't be able to forgive anybody else. That is why God wants us to be reconciled to him. We need God, and it's important to keep that in mind. Once we are in the disciplined mindset of daily reconciliation with God, then that habit will prevail. And it is a habit. You have to make it a habit. Repentance is a healthy thing, both spiritually and mentally. Don't forget it. Reconciliation and forgiveness are excellent partners, or siblings, if you want to call it that. Remember, once we have reconciled and forgiven others, God will take care of the rest. It is a choice of whether others choose to accept the olive branch of love and peace. Never be surprised of what God can do. And you know, if somebody chooses not to forgive you, it's their problem, not yours. Move on with your life and go on, because they're only hurting themselves and not you. So don't feel like that you have to carry that big burden, a bag of burden on your shoulders the rest of your life. Let them deal with it. You've done what you can, and God will help you out in all ways. It never be surprised again of what God can do. God is there to fix things when we thought all broken things in our lives were forever unsalvageable. God can detangle our spiritual ornaments and lights. And if God can do that, God can do a lot of things. So don't give up on God. If you've reached a dead end and you think, well, it's nothing, there's no hope, God will do something about it. It may not be in the way you think, but God will help you out. And so God makes us into new creations. Because why? He loves us. That's the reason. focus on the great promises of the Bible. You know, the greatest promise is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Focus on those promises, and the greatest one is found in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, sometimes we have problems reconciling with you, with others, and even with ourselves. Help us, oh Lord, have a willing and open spirit to do so. Guide us and lead us every day. And as we have started this week off right by coming to your house, we pray, oh Lord, that you will correct the wrongs that we have done. You will help us out to see how we may share your grace with others. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.